Kia ora, hello, and welcome to Bod Almighty, the practical how-to podcast helping you feel better about your body, have a peaceful relationship with food, and go out into the world with confidence. Everywhere we turn these days, someone is telling us to love your body. But how?
Well, by listening to this podcast is how.
That's right. We are your hosts, Hannah Tunnicliffe
and Michelle Sokolich. Without further ado, let's get started. Summer Innanen is a professionally trained coach specialising in body image, self-worth and confidence. She helps people all over the world, including me, to stop living behind the numbers on their scales through her private and group coaching at summerinanen.com. Summer is the best-selling author of Body Image Remix and creator of You on Fire, an online group coaching program dedicated to helping people get free from body shame. She's also the host of Eat the Rules, a podcast dedicated to anti-dieting, body image, intersectional feminism, and empowering people to live life on their own terms. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's cool to be in this position chatting with you.
It's great.
It's so good for us. We're so excited. And today we're going to be talking about how to rock your partner's work party. And I have to say, we had so many people curious about this, didn't we?
Yes, we had a lot of questions about this.
And so the first question I want to ask you, Summer, is why do you think people find their partner's work party so nerve-wracking?
Yeah, I think so much of it comes down to fear of judgment. And I think this is pretty true, universal across any kind of social occasion, but it's always a little bit more intimidating when you perhaps don't know the people as well, or you only see them once a year. And, you know, especially if like, you know, your body has changed a little bit, or, you know, you're just feeling like, you know, you just start to feel doubtful. And I think that when we talk about fear of judgment, what's really coming up is this, it's like kind of, you know, it's the voice of our inner critic, but it's really coming from this like innocent and protective place. You know, it's like, it's this voice inside of us that's saying like, oh, hey, like, don't go to that because you might get judged. It's almost like, you know, if you think about a little kid, like trying to avoid getting like hurt emotionally, that's sort of the manifestation of that voice of our inner critic. And it's often like the sort of worst criticism that we have about ourselves that we fear the most, which most often never comes true, you know? But that's kind of, when we really break down like fear of judgment, it really comes down to, you know, it's an innocent response. And it's often like, if you think about what you're truly afraid of, it's sort of like your own inner internal dialogue, like that criticism that you have about yourself, that's sort of the worst possible criticism. And what's helpful about knowing that is we can then, you know, be really compassionate with ourselves and see it as like, okay, that's just the part of me that's trying to be protective. And you know, how do I want to live my life and how do I want to show up in my life and how can I take steps to then, you know, go to this event and actually do the things I want to do and not let that fear get in the way.
I love the thought of thinking of it as protective, eh? Because sometimes you're almost critical of the inner critic. Like you say, come on, get your big girl pants on.
Yeah, don't be silly.
Stop being such a baby, you know. But the thought of that, viewing that voice as being protective, I think that's a much more compassionate way to think of it.
Yeah, absolutely. People find that a helpful reframe. And I mean, sometimes it is good to say that those things to yourself too, to say like, come on, you can do like, you know, like it's kind of, you got to find the balance. Pep talk is good sometimes. And also, you know, we can kind of see the innocence of it and not hate on ourselves for having it, because we all have it. Anytime we step outside our comfort zone, that voice is going to be there. And it's pretty outside your comfort zone to kind of, you know, be around people you haven't seen in a while, especially if you're like maybe shy or introverted or have social anxiety, then that's going to be even more amplified.
Yeah. And it's really interesting as well, I think, that it's actually your deepest fear that you're kind of projecting. So it's not, because you sort of think, well, just that's the truth. Everyone's going to think that. So I think it's so helpful to think, oh, you know, it's actually not, I don't know what everyone, you know, how do I suppose what anyone else is thinking? And just, yeah, knowing that it's actually, it's something that you've generated and you're kind of thinking about because it's something that you're worried about yourself, rather than, you know, what is actually the reality of what people are going to think.
Exactly. And those like really, you know, harmful beliefs that we have about ourselves are learned too. So, you know, knowing that we're not born having those, and, you know, we've inherited those in some way, shape or form through our culture and childhood experiences can also just be helpful in knowing like, okay, that's why I feel this way. And it's not, you know, it's not something that I have to continue to carry through my life. I can recognize that this thought is not true, or I can recognize that this belief isn't mine, and then try to kind of shift the narrative internally.
I love that. Can I ask, do you think there's an extra layer of complexity because it's a partner's work do? Like, do you feel like why is it the partner's work do that's sort of harder than another setting where you might be meeting strangers? Is it because
the
you feel
stakes are higher?
Yeah, do you feel like the responsibility to represent him or her or them? Like, is there a higher stakes aspect to it? And I wonder why that is more nerve-wracking than other situations where there might be people that you don't interact with regularly.
That's a really good question. Maybe there's a dynamic of like, because your partner interacts with them a lot, like he's kind of got these relationships with them, and then you're sort of coming in like being even more vulnerable because you don't have those connections. You don't have, you know, those relationships, and they don't know you. And you're kind of thinking to yourself like, well, they're going to be judging me based on how I look. And
Right.
I don't know. There could be a bit of like,
yeah,
I suppose if you're self-conscious in your relationship, that can be a factor too. But yeah. I think it probably is more about the vulnerability of just not having the connection that your partner maybe has to those people. Like I would imagine it would be similar if it was like, hey, come to this party where I know everyone and you don't know anyone.
Come meet my friends.
I was thinking there's that power dynamic where, like you say, he or she's got these all these close relationships and you don't, and so you feel more vulnerable or kind of at a disadvantage. And you mentioned, Michelle, the stakes are higher. So what did you mean by that?
I think just that I guess you're meeting people that are part of your partner's life,
right?
And you're probably a bit more involved in them, say, versus going somewhere where you might never see those people again, you know, like
right
yeah, it just feels more invested and more vulnerable, like you said.
Like you're somehow more on show, or the judgment is more significant.
Probably also this like element of, you know, internalized sexism, like if we're talking about women, because we try to compete with each other, right? And like the way that often shows up in our culture is via appearance. And I think that there's probably something to it that is maybe like more heightened because you want to feel better, or you want to feel more superior.
So it's that appearance equals worth equation that's coming to the fore, because I often feel kind of on show.
Yes,
exactly. And that sort of dynamic is, again, it's conditioning, so not your fault, but it's just this, you know, it's like social currency, right? To look a certain way. And so you're sort of valuing yourself through that lens in that moment, and therefore probably, you know, feeling more vulnerable as a result.
And we see that reflected in the way people talk about say celebrity relationships, where they say, oh, you know, how did he get her? So it's this idea that the currency is around her appearance, and potentially his currency is like actual currency, so like money or power or something. So that definitely, I think, speaks to that kind of underlying sort of societal rule. I think you've spoken to that kind of that sort of stuff that sits up beneath the way that our world systems work, and how women are valued and how men are valued. And I think, it does kind of come up in that circumstance, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. So luckily, Summer, you and I have worked together in the past, and you taught me this technique, and I just knew that I wanted to have it on the podcast because it was like incredibly effective for me. So, let's talk a bit about this technique that, you know, before you go to the event, and how you go to the event, and what it is you can do that can help you feel more comfortable. So, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so I love to do like when I work with people, I like to kind of do a little bit more like physical stuff. I know that sounds a little strange, but I often find that when we can change our physical energy, it can change our emotional energy. And so, I mean, I wouldn't say this is like appropriate 100% of the time, but I find in situations like this, it can be incredibly effective to try to shift kind of how you feel internally. So, you know, I think when we were doing it together, one of the first things that I suggest people do is to think about, you know, an aspect of themselves that they really value. You know, think about like, what qualities in yourself do you value? And if that's really difficult for you to think of, think about what qualities does your partner value in you, or even you can ask them, or what qualities do your friends value in you, and to like really connect with those things. So whether it's, I'm a good listener, I have a sense of humor, I'm really kind, you know, I'm smart, whatever those kind of elements of yourself are that you can authentically connect with, and to just kind of shed light on those things and remind yourself too of how you judge other people, you know, because most often we're looking at other people and we're seeing them for who they are. We're not looking at them and compartmentalizing them and, you know, judging them based on their body parts. Like that's what we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we can connect with these elements of ourselves, like these qualities within ourselves, and just even just like saying them aloud. This sounds very, was it like Stuart Small? Stuart Smiley. Remember from Saturday Night Live where he's like, I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And gosh darn it, people like me. Anyways, I'm not suggesting you do that necessarily, but you know, like really saying to yourself, like, you know, I'm a good listener. I'm kind. I have a good sense of humor. I can ask really good questions, or whatever these things are about yourself. Like just start kind of find a way to like kind of affirm yourself. And then, you know, one of the things I love to do is to, you know, have you kind of like get out of your headspace to do it. So if you're just sort of sitting down thinking about this, to like actually stand up, and if you need to like, just kind of, you know, shake out some of the nerves or negative energy. And again, like think about these sort of like affirming words or affirming statements about yourself. And then I always like to say, okay, what's like a theme song for this? Like, what's your theme song? And to think of, you know, a song that you love that just, you know, makes you feel really good. Music can be really powerful. And I don't think it's like a long-term solution to feeling insecure, yeah. But I do think it's like one of these tactics that works really well in the moment. And if we can find something that like, you know, really kind of ignites some positive energy, some confidence in us, if we can kind of use that song and really connect with it and take a moment to, you know, listen to it and like really feel into it and, you know, move your body to it if that feels good for you, and use that to get yourself in kind of like this good headspace, like this confident sort of badass headspace to go to this event. And on top of that, I think like what you wear is important, in that wear something that you feel comfortable in. Like if you're wearing something that's too tight, if you're wearing something that, you know, makes you
have to tug it or
like wear what feels the most comfortable and obviously like that you like, but that I think is also an important element to this, because when we are physically comfortable, we're going to be a lot more emotionally comfortable. And so I always have people like try something on the day before. We're going a little bit out of order here, but try something on the day before, yeah. Like make sure it fits you so that you're not, you know, half an hour before you're supposed to go to this event, like trying on 15 outfits and hating everything and starting to just
freaking out.
Like know exactly what you're going to wear and put on the song, get dressed, like, you know, have a bit of fun with yourself and use that as you go into this social occasion to you know, just boost that internal confidence. Cause like I said, it's like, if we can kind of shift the internal energy, it can shift our, you know, the way we're thinking in that moment and can be super, super helpful.
I mean, I can vouch for it 100%. So when I was in this situation, and we talked about it, I was thinking, okay, I love meeting new people. I feel like I can be, you know, super outgoing and friendly and engaging. And so the first song that popped into my mind was Walking on Sunshine, Katrina and the Waves, because to me that feels like a really bouncy kind of... and yeah, it was amazing. Like, listen to it. And it was like you said, getting yourself out of your head and into your body really just helped me focus and amplify. And I just remember walking in there and feeling really comfortable and just going up to people and being like, hi, you know, like chat. And it was amazing. And I had been really nervous about going to this particular event. So yeah.
And you'd listened to it, if you were saying you listened to it a few times before the event, and kind of created the link in your brain between the thoughts of worth beyond what you look like and the things that you could bring to the party. So like bubbliness and sunshine and happiness.
Yeah.
Connected the two and kept listening to it and then listened to it.
Yeah. And right as we were walking in the door and I was feeling a bit nervous, I heard it in my head. It just was that, making the link and keeping that top of mind as to like, this is me and this is what I'm projecting, you know, and I'm not worried about anything that I'm nervous about, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
Summer, is there like, do you feel like you were talking about working physically and the idea of using music too? And, you know, I suffer from anxiety and I think it's really interesting the idea of like movement and music, because I feel like that kind of helps bypass like the part of your brain that's just going on a stress spiral. Is that what you notice as well?
Yeah, 100%. I think it's like, I don't know if it's endorphins. Like, I don't know what happens when we listen to music. It's probably something like that, or dopamine. Like, there's something that kind of flows when we're listening to something that's really that, you know, that makes us feel good. And it helps to sort of like quiet those thoughts down. I think that if you're feeling like it's not working for you in that moment, then there may be more benefit in as a first step of just like trying to do some breathing to relax your nervous system, or, you know, go outside for 5 minutes just to like breathe some fresh air or walk around the block. Like, we want to kind of calm the nervous system a bit before we start doing it. I think that that's another piece of it. If you're trying this and you're like, this is not working for me, but so that can be part of it, especially if you have more of the anxious energy is kind of looking to release some of that, like by having that kind of like physical change as well, like whether it's like breathing or just focus on relaxing or, you know, go outside, whatever kind of helps you do that. And then you can, you know, find a song and sort of do the same thing.
So for some people, the theme song might be something that is more calming, but does actually speak to them feeling more confident. It could, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be like a kind of
like a rah-rah sort of.
Yeah, like yeah, I love Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong duets. It could be something kind of jazzy, or it could be a piece of classical music that they learned as a child or whatever. So I think people perhaps shouldn't feel restrained, should they? Like whatever 100%. Speaks to them personally.
What would, do you have a track that, I've put you on the spot now, Hannah. What comes to mind? Like, what are you?
Well, as I say, I do listen to lots of jazz duets, and my husband freaking hates it because he feels like he's in some kind of like 1930s dance hall or something. But I just find it really comforting. So I think confidence is a really individual concept, you know? Like,
True. Yeah. I know what you mean. Like the typical, like me, I'm like, you know, I am a very extroverted, outgoing person. So for me, that's, but for you, it could be more low key, you know, like a, yeah.
Well, it's interesting what you were saying, Summer, about, you know, thinking about what you bring to other people. So you were saying, you know, you could be, I'm really kind, I'm a really good listener. You know, if somebody's feeling lonely, I can make them feel more comfortable. So it might be that you, like what you bring might be less kind of effervescent.
Yes.
And then perhaps you might find that that's sort of reflected in that song that you choose. And therefore it boosts up those aspects of yourself, and you'd be like, okay, cool. I'm a jazz song. I'm, you know, a quartet. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but no, that's a really good point. But those kinds
of people in a social situation are really helpful too. Like it's, you know, you can only have so many show people kind of thing.
Yeah. And I know in our society, definitely extroverts, you know, are very valued, you know, I use that in quote marks. Yeah, so I think that's a really good thing to mention is that, yeah, it's not typically the stereotypical, like, going to walk into the room and light it up, Yeah.
I love that. I love that. Yeah. Sometimes when I'm working with people who have more social anxiety, like I will have them really focus on, you know, asking questions to people instead of, you know, feeling like they have to be talking about themselves the whole time. So, you know, just really kind of like lead with curiosity and put kind of the focus on the other people to take it away from the attention being on you. And that I find to be really effective for people who are maybe more introverted or like social anxiety, that kind of thing. Because then you're really, all you have to do is listen and be curious. And you don't have to think about like, oh God, what am I going to say? You know, just it's listen not, and keep asking questions. Performance.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You were, and you know what? You're not going to be graded afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, so shall we plunge into going forward? So you mentioned that this is kind of a temporary fix and people might want to progress the work that they're doing around accepting their bodies. So where do we go from here?
I mean, there's so many places to go from here.
It's exciting.
It is. I think the whole notion of like looking for ways to affirm your value in who you are versus how you look, you know, knowing the qualities that you offer, like looking to validate yourself in those areas. That's always like a really helpful thing. I'm sure you've talked about a million other things on this podcast too, in terms of things people can do about, you know, changing their social media feed and all of these other things. But so to kind of keep it like more focused on what we talked about today, like I think, you know, the overall goal we want is to build up a solid sense of our self-worth beyond how we look, so that our appearance isn't something that's really, you know, causing these like emotional, emotional roller coaster in our lives, so that we can kind of like, you know, look at ourselves with neutrality and know, you know, I'm good enough, like regardless of whether, you know, I'm like feeling myself today physically or not. And I think that, you know, another aspect of this is just knowing, you know, knowing like what we truly value in this life, what really brings us a sense of fulfillment, and, you know, knowing our purpose beyond just, you know, how we look. And when we can kind of focus on those things and living our life, then the body stuff becomes a lot less significant. Like it becomes more inconsequential.
Absolutely. I keep thinking of that kind of army movie line where they go, neutralize the threat. But I love talking about body neutrality, because it's a much more accessible concept for people to think about filling their lives and their minds with other value, you know, focusing on other things. That means that it reduces the headspace available for worrying about the way they look.
Yeah, exactly. And some people kind of like, you know, feel like body neutrality, they're like, oh, I don't want, like, I do want to love my body. And I think it's just about kind of understanding that, you know, what do you actually mean when you say you want to love your body? And I think just kind of diving into what that means for you. And sometimes that means like finding yourself attractive and then sort of understanding like what's important about that. And I like to unpack that with people, because I think that like ultimately we probably mostly just want to feel at peace with our body and ourselves. And that really comes from this place of neutrality and sort of letting go of this expectation that we need to, you know, like look in the mirror and be like, oh my God, I'm so hot. You know, we don't need to do that.
Yeah. And that's definitely a lifelong journey, I think, getting to that place. I know when I first started, you know, this whole journey of accepting myself, initially my way in, I guess, was to look at, you know, other people on my Instagram feed that looked like me and to be like, oh yeah, well that, you know, like it was still very appearance focused. Like, how can I still look acceptable, you know, in my mind, in this body? And I think, yeah, gradually that realization that actually it's not really about the exterior at all is a great place to get to, but one I know that I'm still heading towards.
It's a practice. I think it's like, it's not, you know, I always say it's a practice, not a destination, because I think it's just one of those things that we need to be looking at on a daily basis, you know, like how am I meeting myself where I'm at today? Like, what does my body need today? What do I need mentally today? What can I do to just accept myself in this moment, even if I don't like this moment, or even if I don't like what I see in this moment? And I think that,
if you're always focused on that exterior and the appearance, then really there's no way to ever be happy, really. There's always something more that you're chasing there. Whereas when you are, it is about the interior, it feels to me like that's a much more peaceful, you know, place to be.
Absolutely. And I think that I'd be interested in your thoughts on this, Summer, but I think that people talk about, you know, we've got a relationship with the concept of love, excuse me, that is very idealized and romantic. So it's like, I want to look in the mirror and basically want to have sex with myself, you know, whereas actually, if you think about the people that you love most in your life, whether it's your partner or your children or your parents or your sister or whatever it is, you don't like them all the time. You don't think they look great. Sometimes you want space from them. So I always think that people have to remember that the relationship with their body is going to be a long-term relationship, like those relationships that they have with those people that they love so much. And it's not one flavor, and it's not constant all the time, and it's not lust. And, it, you know, it's like sort of decoupling this idea in your mind that love as a concept kind of needs to be about, like, sex and romance.
And the ideal.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and that it's, like, it's really more about the actions as opposed to, like, the feeling, you know? Like, because, you know, when you hug your child, there's this, like, very visceral feeling of love. And, you know, do we get that for ourselves? Like, I don't know, but can we, you know, can we treat ourselves in the same way that we treat our children? You know, can we, you know, listen, can we be respectful? Can we be compassionate and, you know, see ourselves as like these whole human beings? And I think that that's probably more like where the word love can be applicable, rather than, you know, this sort of like euphoric sensation that happens when we are maybe in like a space of someone that we love like very intimately.
Yes.
You just articulated that so much better than I did. I love that. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Okay. I love that romantically and in a compassionate way.
Yeah. Amazing. No, that's fantastic. So Summer, where can people find you if they want to find more out about you and your work?
Sure. So the easiest place to find me is thebodyimagecoach.com. That redirects to my site. My site is actually summerinandin.com, but it's not as easy to spell. Yeah. And I'm on social media. It's all of my handles are at summerinandin, and my podcast is called Eat the Rules.
Amazing. And you also do like a free 10-day body confidence makeover. And yeah, we'll put that link in our show notes for people who are interested in that as well. But yeah, I totally recommend everyone check you out and your work. And yeah, I think you're amazing.
Thank you. Well, it's so amazing to see you on this side of things now.
Yeah.
And doing what you're doing. And I'm honored that you remembered that moment that we had together. That's so cool.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much, Summer.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Bod Almighty,
the podcast that gives you practical how-to steps towards body acceptance and confidence.
You can find us on Instagram at Bod Almighty Podcast.
Please do get in touch to let us know if you have any questions or suggestions. We love to hear from you.
From both of us, thank you and goodbye.